What are you looking for? What do you want? Well, in a sense, Philip's question of Jesus hits that basic, most basic of all questions. When Philip asked, you know, Jesus, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus' answer is that he and the Father are one, so if we see Jesus, we have seen the Father. But that question, what do you want? We want to see the Father, goes back to the deepest desire of our heart. All of us, whether we recognize it or not, really want to live in a deep, intimate communion with God, which ultimately heaven is. So the catechism begins with that idea of that deep desire yearning in our hearts. The catechism begins, the desire for God is written in the human heart because man is created by God and for God. God never ceases to draw man to himself. Only in God will we find the truth and happiness we never stop searching for. Only in God will we find the truth and happiness we'll never stop searching for. Then it goes on to say that this desire for God is planted in our heart at the moment that we are created, coming into being. And then it goes on the next couple of paragraphs. Though this desire, this vital bond with God, we can forget, we can ignore, we can deny, we can even reject. That comes, with our free will. But if we really want that deep desire of our heart, the readings, the gospel today tells us Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life towards that life, that communion with God. And as the way, Jesus' path of the way is going to lead through Jerusalem and the cross. And if we follow Christ on that path of the way, it will lead us to the Father's house through our crosses and through our own Jerusalems. But Jesus said, in the Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Well, let's focus on that for a second. For the Jewish people in Jesus' time, the Father's house was the temple in Jerusalem. But if you recall, at the beginning of John's gospel, Jesus drives out the money changers, the people selling animals, and then they ask, you know, who gives you authority to do this? And Jesus will say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Well, the people think of the physical structure, but then there's this commentary that Jesus was speaking about his body. Well, who is the body of Christ? Us, the church, not just that consecrated wafer. So the way to that deep communion with God is going to be Christ and then ultimately his body. Those who belong to Christ, we might say the church. Well, if we recognize that, we're called to be a countercultural community here at St. Thomas. We're called to live not by the values of the world, but by the values of the head of the body, the church, Christ. So if you go to Matthew's gospel, Jesus will say, the path is very wide that leads away from that deep communion with God. The path and gateway is very narrow that follows that path of Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Well, we are called to be the community that doesn't go by that wide path, but by the narrow path and narrow gate. The fact that the Eucharist is the center and summit of our life for the church says that we want to model our lives after the one who hung upon the cross for us. As one author said, to eat the flesh of Jesus and to drink his blood is to become totally identified with the person of Jesus, with his deepest thoughts, his vision of life, his values, his mission to build the kingdom of God. I was reading a story this past week about this pastor of a church, and he said, really, it was ultimately the kingdom of God. People of all different nationalities, you know, economic status, young, old, everyone would be in the church as they gathered Sunday after Sunday. And after he looked out on the assembly, he would stand up at the pulpit and ask the people, who are we who are gathered here this morning? And they would rise up and with a thunderous voice together, they would all say, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that we may announce the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his own wonderful light. Well, ultimately what they were saying, they were repeating the words of that second reading from Peter's first letter. Who are we as we gather here this morning? Yes, individuals from our different places in homes and occupations, but we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, to proclaim to all the world the wonderful praises of God, people called out of darkness into that wonderful light of God. So if that is the who we are as we gather here this morning, what does it mean? Well, we're a chosen race. I don't know about you growing up, but I guess I always had bad experiences. You know, in grade school, they'd pick up teams for different activities. And being short, being overweight, and being slow, I was one of the last people to be picked always. You know, they always hoped that there was someone else besides me to pick, and they had to eventually say, okay, Avalon, you're on my side. And we kind of buy into those images of being chosen, but we forget if Paul in his letter to the Ephesians said that God chose us. God chose us before the beginning of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That first chapter of the letter to the Ephesians goes on, in him, Christ, we are also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so we might exist for the praise of God's glory. Then it goes on to say, God wants to show us how serious he is, that he wants us to live in that communion with him for all eternity. In a sense, God is showing us through a down payment his seriousness. And that down payment is the Holy Spirit that we've been given in the waters of baptism. That Holy Spirit is God saying to us, this is my Spirit, is a down payment that I want you to live with me eternally in heaven in a deep communion for all eternity. Well, the question is, that's how serious God is. How serious are we to be that chosen race? Well, we are a royal priesthood. I don't know if you watched all that kind of hoopla about England and King Charles, but all of us were anointed as kings when we were baptized. Does that not ring anything as important to us? What does it mean to be that we're a royal priesthood? Well, we're going to imitate the one who is the high priest, Christ. In the Eucharistic prayer, if you listen carefully, I think if we model our lives after these words, then we're really living that royal priesthood. Jesus will say, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body given up for you. If that sacrificial lifestyle is how we are living, then we're living as that royal priesthood. I'm not sure it's a true story, but supposedly there were all these political prisoners in a prison, and it was Easter Sunday, and one of the Catholic men wanted to celebrate the Mass. Well, they didn't have books and bread and wine or anything else. But they gathered in a circle, and the other prisoner said, because it's prohibited, we'll gather around you and talk silently to keep the guards unaware of what's going on. Well, the person who had this idea told the men, you know, we don't have any of the things for the Eucharist, but we'll just act as if we do have them. And when it came time for the consecration, because they didn't have any bread, you know, he said the words, this is my body given up for you. And what he did is give his hand to the man next to him and said, this is my body given up for you. And that person to the next person, this is my body given up for you. And so it went around that whole circle. Well, that's what it means to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are called to be a holy people. We need to be serious about holiness in our lives. Holiness means we're going to submit our will to God's will, so that God can refashion us in that divine image that was lost in original sin. And all that will be the work of that Holy Spirit that God has given to us, is that down payment and that future glory that we are called to share. Well, if we are really serious about holiness, it has to be done within community. So more and more people today, you know, I'm spiritual but not religious, I don't belong to any church community. Well, as Pope Francis said, that idea that we can grow in holiness by ourselves is really a false idea. As he said, when we live apart from others, it's very difficult to fight against the snares and temptations of the devil and the selfishness of the world. Growth in holiness is a journey in community, side by side with one another. St. John of the Cross told one of his followers, "You are living with others in order to be fashioned holy, and then also to be tried." Yes, it is difficult to live in community, but it's that kind of fire that helps us to be refined, to be holy as God is holy. But it means we're going to have to be obedient to God's will. Jesus, the truth, his words have to guide us. Nowadays, we live in a culture, well, that's just your truth. I have my own truth. Well, Jesus didn't say he is a truth. He said is the truth. We need to model our lives after his words, his teachings. And then ultimately, if we are, we are called to be the light of the world. And as Jesus tells us, that light is not called to be hidden, but to shine through all around so that people may experience God's glory and glorify our Heavenly Father. Well, it's easy to bury our light in a world that's becoming more and more anti-Christian, but we're called to resist that. Mother Teresa talked about a light bulb. It's comprised of all sorts of different elements, but it's when that current passes through all those elements, whether they're expensive or little or big, when current passes through all of that, then that light bulb lights up. Well, we're called to be that light bulb as a community here at St. Thomas, and to let the Holy Spirit be that current that enters through us, and then all of us are lit with that light of Christ. As Mother Teresa said, each one of us is merely a small instrument. When we look at the inner workings of electrical things, we often see small and big wires, new and old, cheap and expensive, all lined up. Until the current passes through them, there will be no light. That wire is you and me. The current is God. We have the power to let the current pass through us, use us, and produce the light of the world. Or we can refuse to be used and allow darkness to spread around us. Well, Jesus said, in the Father's house, there are many dwelling places. It speaks about the many people in the Father's house. But dwelling places also reminds us, like in that first reading, when the first deacons or servants were called to minister to the Hellenistic women, we too are the many different places, dwelling places. There are many different ways to serve in this community to truly be the who we are called to be. But we need to keep that attitude in our minds. Who are we as we gather here at St. Thomas, the Apostle Catholic Church in Huntsville, Texas? We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God, of God's own possession, to shine with that light of Christ, that people see that light and give glory to our Heavenly Father. We share with you in the past, it's a stewardship prayer. Eventually we'll probably put it on the hymnal covers and so we can recite it to remind ourselves, if we are going to be who we are, we need to do these actions. As the stewardship prayer says, Dear Heavenly Father, my parish is composed of people like me. I help make it what it is. It will be friendly if I am friendly. Its pews will be filled with people if I help fill them. It will do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am a generous giver. It will bring other people into worship and fellowship if I invite and bring them. It will be a parish of loyalty and love, of fearlessness and faith, a parish with a noble spirit if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these same things. Therefore, with your help, O God, I shall dedicate myself to the task of being all things that I want my parish to be. Amen. Well, the desire for God is written deep in our heart. Christ is going to be the way to fulfill that deep desire. We can reject his actions and his way, but if we really accept it, as we look around us this morning, who are we? Like that minister who said, this is the kingdom of God present here. We are called to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession.